in a beautiful leafy area of the UK. And isn't God's creation beautiful? Certainly is. So God created plants on day three of the creation story. If you're not familiar with it, he created people on day six. So plants quite a long time before people. He designed them himself, but he didn't give them their own free will. He didn't make them able to talk. They can't sin, probably a lot to do with the fact that they can't talk, I think. So creation is fantastic, and Jesus and his disciples would not have needed to grow their plants on their windowsills. They probably didn't have windowsills at the time when Jesus walked the earth. The climate was warmer. They had an outdoor kind of life. It was a farming society, so they would have been incredibly familiar with the life cycle of a plant and what it meant to them. So many of the parables in the Bible do speak of plants. There are many other verses as well that speak of plants. So I hope this morning, if you're not a keen gardener, that as I go through some of these verses, you can reflect on creation around you and hear what God's saying to you today. So there are quite a lot of verses. They're going to come up on the screen, but if you prefer to listen, don't worry. So I couldn't reflect upon all the mention of plants in the Bible. I'd be here for a long time. So the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to look at three parts of a plant's life. I'm going to look at seeds, I'm going to look at plants, and I'm going to look at fruit. And then I'm going to look at what God would say to us when we, God's people, are, for example, the seed, when God himself is the seed, and then when others are the seed. And then the same for plants and fruit. So how many points will there be? 9, right, that's okay, we've got it. That's not a promise, there might be one or two more, but we've got where we're going. Okay, so seeds, we all know what a seed is. It is a dry life form. It's dry, but it certainly isn't dead. It contains everything that's needed for that plant to carry out its next cycle, to become a plant, to produce some fruit, to produce a seed, and then back to the beginning. And I think it's the parable of the sower that is primarily concerned with the situation when we're the seed. So here we've got Matthew 13, verses 3 to 8. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. So if you've been around church or churches for a while, you might have heard many sermons on this parable. But the point I want to draw out this morning is that these seeds cannot plant themselves. They don't plant themselves. We need the sower to plant them. And in this parable, the sower is Father God. God takes the initiative, and he's done the same with you. If you belong to Jesus this morning, once upon a time you were a seed, and he took you and he put you in the soil, and he made you able to grow, able to contribute, participate in life in God's kingdom. And we see this through the Bible again and again. God taking the initiative with us. It's in his nature. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for it's by grace you've been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. He takes the initiative. God does it, not us. But the picture of a seed isn't limited to a new Christian. A seed is also a picture of an idea. When God is the seed, it's these ideas that come into our head, these promptings to speak to someone, to be kind to another, that don't come from ourselves and that are very hard to push away. But maybe you have had an idea like that this week, and maybe you have pushed it away. But that's God, that's the seed of God. Are you good soil? Is your heart and mind good soil to receive those promptings from God? Can you respond well at the moment? And these seeds really are for any season. Joel 2, verse 28, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Nobody is too old or too young to receive that seed from God in their mind. Did you have an idea for the mission week in November, but have you discounted it because you're too young or too old? Not possible. God takes the initiative all through our walks with him. Another thing about these seeds, they can't sow themselves. They also can't control where they fall. We see in the parable from Matthew that they fall in a lot of different places, but they can't control where they fall. If those seeds were others and you saw a new Christian who was maybe in some circumstances that weren't helping them grow, would you have the courage to offer that word of encouragement or maybe correction? Or would you just leave it to somebody else? You're prepared to sow into the lives of others like that. Are you generally prepared to sow into God's kingdom? Do we do that well? John 4:37, I haven't got this one, it says, we don't always reap what we sow, which is true, but we do have to carry on sowing into the church. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Paul is talking about finances here, but it could be time or energy or ideas or gifts. Are we sowing into the lives of others when others are the seed? Are we prepared to take the initiative like God did with us? And lastly, about seeds. Seeds, in the vast majority of cases, have to be watered. They can't germinate and grow from the moisture in the soil. They have to be watered either by the rain or by somebody watering them. And this in the Bible is often a picture of the Holy Spirit pouring out, showering out water, sustenance on us. And isn't his Spirit just so precious when things are new? For new Christians to feel that tangible love for the first time that comes from the Spirit of God. Or have you ever had an idea and just sort of quite desperately prayed, God, if this is you, you've got to prove it. And he does. But why wouldn't he? He's faithful. He's faithful, he takes the initiative and he follows through. So despite my protest about the pots on the windowsill, seeds do grow into plants. That is what we want them to do. That is why we sow them. So when we're thinking of ourselves as plants, I think God's concern is that we're spiritually healthy, that we're healthy participants in God's kingdom. In verses 5 and 6 of the parable in Matthew, the plants didn't grow because they didn't have good roots. They couldn't put down good roots because the soil was shallow. And it's not physical roots that we need here. It's, this is becoming a global society with families separated across different continents. And God completely knew this was going to happen. And he is not fazed. He will use this as part of his plan. But it's roots in God that we need. We need to read the word of God and really develop that trust that he's good, that he's for us always, that he won't leave us even in difficult times. Those are the roots that we need. Did you know that in the natural, windy weather makes roots stronger? So if you're being pushed about a bit this morning, if you feel that life is a bit gusty for you and you're being pushed around, remember that this probably means that next time there's a dry period where, the Holy Spirit just seems less tangible, you'll be strong. You'll be able to sustain yourself and maybe even others. Another fantastic verse about plants is the one about pruning. I quite like pruning. It's quite satisfying, I find. Just make a bit of a mess, though, because I can't keep track of what I've done and where all my bits are. Many of us all know this verse, though. John 15, verse 2. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. And this is really relevant for more mature Christians, isn't it? You'd never prune a tiny little plant. You wouldn't cut it back. It's when we've been growing for a while that things might need to change. So if something isn't working in your spiritual life, then change it. Don't carry on if it isn't working. If there's a relationship that you've been trying hard at but isn't working, a ministry that you think has run its course, it might be hard to cut it off, but, you know, three new things may grow when you do. Also, you can trust Jesus. Don't worry that you might cut it off and he'll be angry with you. If you weren't supposed to sever that, it will grow right back where it was. I'm trying to stop a houseplant toppling. I've cut a branch off and it's grown another one in exactly the same place. That's what will happen. You can trust Jesus with this. So I think the main image in the Bible where God is the plant is the image of Jesus as the vine. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So vines were very important in Jesus' culture because wine was one of the few drinks that was guaranteed to be pure. But the branches themselves could end up being far from the vine, which actually pulled the water up, and could become detached. And the only way, because they were tangled, the only way of knowing would be if it stopped growing grapes. This is really good news for us, that Jesus is always there for us, ready to sustain us. Because if our own roots aren't quite strong enough in a certain circumstance, Jesus will provide this life-giving sustenance. We can lean on the fact that he won't let us go, that he's good, that he will carry us through. He's not considering us a failure. So when other people are the plant, really my points about when others are the seed apply. We need to be looking out for each other, whether they're young or old Christians, and looking at their circumstances, offering words of encouragement, suggestion, if that's the right thing to do. But I want to talk about another plant as well. I want to talk about oaks of righteousness. Isaiah 61, verse 3. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. So I think we're blessed with very many oaks of righteousness in this church. Mature Christians, old or otherwise, who've overcome these many struggles to now be the kind of Christian who displays the Lord's splendor. And we bless you and we honor you. But the other thing that these oaks can do because of their wide canopy is offer shelter to others. And so my question this morning is, are we making the most of these oaks of righteousness in our church? Are we taking advice? Are we learning from their experience? Are they offering advice, that shelter? We're in a cycle, we've seen that, but are we making the most of this part of the cycle this morning? Right, so, two-thirds of the way through. So fruit, who likes fruit? Who likes vegetables? See, that's because there's no one under 10 in here. It's just a constant, constant battle. We're all fruitful if we belong to Jesus. So what we're going to do in a minute, if you're comfortable with it, we're going to shut our eyes for 20 seconds and ask Jesus how we've been fruitful for him this week. Ready? Go. Okay, stop. Can feel like a long time, can't it? Some ways it's a bit of a trick question. Because you are the fruit. You don't have to do anything to be the fruit. James 1 verse 18 says, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So we're the fruit. If you belong to Jesus this morning, you're the culmination of what he intended. He sent Jesus to earth He died on the cross, he rose again, so you could have a relationship with him. That's the fruit. And not just the fruit either, the first fruit, the most special fruit, the celebrated fruit, the most important fruit. That is who you are. But when God works through us, he brings the fruit of the Spirit into our situation. And this might be what God spoke to you about, to some of you about this morning when you shut your eyes. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So when you bring these things into the situation, God is the fruit. And we shouldn't forget to recognize this and thank God for it. If people say to you, oh, thank goodness you're here. Oh, I don't know how you can be so patient. Why are you always so kind to them? That's God bringing the fruit into the situation through you. Thank him for it. It doesn't come in the natural. That's why it's the fruit of the Spirit. But I think when we talk about fruit, the case we're aiming for is the case where other people are the fruit, where we bring lost souls in to know Jesus. Friends and neighbours, baptised, people who have no hope talk about what they might do next year. That's what we're aiming for. But are we bringing enough of this kind of fruit? Are we happy with what we're bringing? We probably never should be happy. But how can we bring more fruit? Well, to produce fruit, we'd need much water. So, here, I've got, can everyone see it? A grape. Would you like to guess how much water you need to produce this one grape? That's right. Very good. 1 litre of water to produce one grape. But that's amazing, isn't it? How about tomato? More or less? 4 litres. 4 litres of more water to produce a tomato. I've researched this on the internet, so these truths might not be quite as true as the Bible verses. How about this? Broccoli. Twenty litres of water to produce this. It's not even juicy. Amazing. But as we've seen many parallels between the plant life and our spiritual life, why won't it be the same? Why won't it be the same in the spiritual? If we want more fruit, we need more water. God's given us ways to receive that water. He sends rain through his Holy Spirit. We can draw through our roots, and we have the vine to lean into. And we're not saying that we should just be striving for fruit, that we should spend all of our time with God praying for just one friend, because that would be boring, and I don't think God wants our time with him to be boring. But equally, there clearly is not a whole litre of water inside this grape, is there? The water is needed to make the plant into the kind of plant that could produce lots of fruit time and time again. And that's what we need to aim for, to be the kind of Christians who are capable of producing that 30, 60, 100 times crop because we've taken in the water. Okay, so I've flown around a bit this morning, but hopefully you can see that there's a cycle. The plants have a life cycle, but we don't need to be just at any one point in that cycle. We need to keep an eye on all of them, on the seeds, on our roots, on the plant, on the fruit, all the time. So really, to leave you with, is there an area that you've been neglecting recently? Is your heart and mind in a good state to receive seeds from God? Are you fighting weeds yourself so you can't take care of your roots? Have you become so tall an oak of righteousness that you don't notice when the fruit of the Spirit comes into a situation? Have you maybe been focusing on the fruit itself and so you as the plant are not so healthy. You know, God sustains plants through water. Plants can't live without water, that's true. And the verse in John says that we can do nothing without God. But in order to get more fruit, we're going to need more of God. We're going to just need more of him. He's done everything that he needed to when Jesus died on the cross. His water is available to us, but we just need to learn to receive it.